Good morning. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Jack Sherrill, owner of the Asphalt Team here in Cookeville, Tennessee. Hi, Jack.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. So tell me what's the Asphalt Team, which we already discussed, but I'm going to say asphalt a lot of times. It's a weird word.
We started out as just a paving maintenance company early on. Just seal coating, small driveways, things like that. It just kind of escalated. We do seal coating for parking lots, line striping, repairs, parking curbs, parking stops. We do lining and marking of city streets. Most of our stuff, we're probably 95% commercial. Still do residential, basically local, but because we don't want to forget where we came from.
So let's go back to where you came from. What made you, you know, how long have you been in business? What made you decide to start your own business?
We've been in business a little over, right at 30 years. I got into it when I was basically 12. My dad's friend had a driveway that he needed sealed. My dad volunteered me to help him.
Volunteered you?
Yeah. So he got me to do the driveway. Of course, I'm 12. It took me 2 days. And I remember when he paid me to do that driveway, I thought, I may be onto something here.
And it was just like a resealing kind of, I mean, is it something that a 12-year-old...
I'm not 12, and that's not something I know how to do. Well, he had all the stuff. I just done, you know, we just
labor.
Used the old style buckets and squeegee, that kind of a deal. Of course, things have changed now. We run spray units and things like that, a lot different.
Yeah. But so at 12, you kind of got that feeling of entrepreneurship of like.
I did. And I think it happened when he handed me the money.
Yeah.
Because I'm 12 and I've got 120 bucks now. So
yeah. And that was probably, I mean, at that time, that was, you were a millionaire.
I remember
the first time I ever had $100 of my own money that I earned in my hand. And it was like a big deal.
Absolutely.
It wasn't from one job. I wasn't that skilled.
Yeah, I was hooked immediately right then.
I'm sure. So did you start kind of like, was that your child, your teenage business? Of like,
well,
some guys are mowing lawns.
Actually, I think it was just predestined for me, really, because after I done that one, another family friend had a business, North Georgia, South Chattanooga area. He'd done the same kind of stuff, but on a bigger scale. And he got me to help over the summer.
Was this like illegal working underage?
Well, probably, because I'm 13 at this point. So,
who knows what the working age was at that time, but...
You keep talking like it's in the 50s. This was just in maybe the 80s.
The early 90s, yeah. Right?
Uh-huh. So, I helped him every summer for 3 or 4 years. And any days off that I had, you know, from school or whatever, I helped him. And it just ignited, you know, something in me because it was, at that point, it was all I was around.
Yeah. Did you ever think, like, your options... for a career path could have been just to go work for somebody else.
Absolutely.
Why start your own company? Because, I mean, there's a lot more pressure and stress when I'm sure you have many employees at this point.
I went to school for a while for computer-aided drafting, and I thought that may be something I like. I liked it. It's interesting. But I just, I just couldn't do it.
It's very different. Computer stuff, sitting at a desk, is different than being outside and working in the sun. I mean, I think as much as it's hard work, there is something kind of refreshing about just being outside and working with your hands.
For a guy and the guys that I work with, and I've got my wife helps, and one of my daughters does at times as she can. But there's something about taking a parking lot that the owner feels is just beyond repair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have to spend, you know, $100,000 to come in and repave it. We can take it and rejuvenate it and make it look new again. And they're happy. I'm happy, you know, so there's something rewarding about that a lot.
Well, and I think that it's interesting. I feel like when you're on a career path, whatever you're doing, you should do it with passion. And the fact that most people would say, paving a parking lot, like, who care. Mm-hmm. Is there really different ways to do that? And we're going to get into to what makes sets you apart. But you know, I think just think really truly believing in the product that you're selling and the service that you're providing. I think that's what sets business partners apart from other business owners.
We have a guy that buys and sells grocery stores that we do a lot of work for. He's retired now. The work has trailed off. But early on, he would buy a grocery store, and I was the second guy he called after he bought it. The first mm-hmm. guy was the painter, and mm-hmm. then he would call us. We would come in. Painter would have his work done. We would come in and redo the parking lot. And he said every grocery store that he had that he'd done that 1-2 punch with basically improved 20% with no other changes at all.
Yeah.
So the curb appeal that we provide is worth a lot because you have a business or say a home, people see, you know, if you're on the interstate traveling and you pull up in to an exit to get fuel and there's three stations, you don't realize it, but you'll go to the station that the parking lot looks the best in. You won't realize it until you're there.
Yeah.
But that curb appeal means everything to the
business. I think that you mentioned striping lines and parking lots. I think that there is something of refreshing when it's a new coat of paint and you can see the lines. I think there is some sort of like pressure when you can't really see the lines and you're right. Like, am I in the right spot? Am I going to get hit? And there is something that, like you said, it's not necessarily always a conscious thought, but it does feel good when you pull in and you're like, ooh, this looks good. It's freshly painted.
Absolutely. And you may not realize it at the time, but you touched on it. You do feel safer when those lines are out there because there's a lot that's went into those lines, the paint, the style of paint, the way it's applied. Paint's got glass beads in it that we do that has, you know, that we do on streets. That's reflective. That's where you can see it at night or in the rain. Mm-hmm. Your headlights will hit off of it and you can see it a lot better.
Yeah.
You do feel safer. We've had situations to where people wouldn't read the signs. They just didn't pay attention to the signs, but we could put up a yellow line along the edge of that road. They'll stay away from it.
Yeah.
Or a white line.
Whatever. Yeah. In case you're just joining us, we have Jack Sherrill, owner of the Asphalt Team Inn. So we're like over, I mean, you've been in business, you said 30 years. How have you seen techniques and you mentioned glass beads in your paint? Was that something that was around? You know, how have you seen things progress and change in ways that, you know, we don't think it's painting a parking lot. How innovative can that be? But I'm sure that there has been some changes and even the techniques of, you know, a bucket and your first ventures to now. How have things changed?
Unfortunately, technology doesn't hit the asphalt industry like it does, you know, everything, you know, radio or what have you. But there has been a lot of changes. I mean, from the bucket technique, we have sprayers now. Yeah. You know, we can, you know, easily we can spray out, 100,000 square feet, you know, in a few hours. We can paint literally, 1,000 spaces in a day. So those techniques have changed, and it's gotten better because you couldn't, you know, like our stripers, we have the airless paint strippers, and you actually ride on them. You don't push them anymore, that kind of stuff. So your productivity goes up. Your production productivity goes up, but the quality, they give you, you know, if you have the right tools, the quality's there. As far as changes and innovations, there's like a patchwork or a hole in a parking lot. You used to have to wait until the asphalt plant was running the correct mix, and then you would go get it, bring it in, and patch the hole, cut it out, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now they have one product that we use a lot called Aquafault, and it comes in a bucket to repair those holes, but it's activated by water versus hot asphalt oil, which – that way you can do repairs at night. You don't have to wait on the asphalt plant to run. It just opens you up to, a lot better business model as far as repairs go. You can do quicker repairs, too, with that.
Was there a time where you thought, like, getting a new piece of equipment or that you thought this is it, I've made it as a business, or this is going to change everything? Do you remember a time?
Actually, I was on the parking lot about a week ago. That kind of seen one of the first big changes was we had bought our first sprayer to spray the asphalt sealer down. But I was still having to hire a guy to come and do my stripes for me. And I needed him on that Monday. He couldn't come on Monday. He said Tuesday, and then Tuesday came. He couldn't come. So it was Wednesday, and I decided right then, this guy is not going to determine my future for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that myself. He finished that parking lot soon after we bought our first paint stripper. I was just, I was a nervous wreck, But once you can start going in and completing a job with the best technology, the best equipment you have that you can get, and make it look presentable and make the customer happy, there's just something about that.
Yeah, from start to finish, kind of having it all within your control and not waiting on somebody else. I think that's you're delivering what you want to the client.
Well, early on, I never thought I would own a paint stripper.
Yeah.
Now we have several. But,
yeah.
And had several, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of the progression of a business of like, okay, well, I think I can just, I'm going to, and I think that's smart. You bite off what you can chew at that time. And then you take little progressions of like, okay, now this is my next step. This is my next step. And I think that's the key of a 30-year successful business is to not bite off more than you can chew.
Absolutely. You learn that daily.
Yeah. I think that's, we don't always see very many businesses that stay around for that long. And mm-hmm. So that's definitely part of it. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have the owner of the asphalt team, Jack Sherrill, in this morning. So we've kind of been going over the innovations and things, how things have changed. What do you want people to know who are just, we've talked a lot about your commercial business, but what about the residential side of things? What would I need to know as a homeowner about my driveway, sidewalks, whatever?
It's really the same as the commercial product or the commercial applications. If you seal coat your driveway, for instance, keep it maintained, keep the cracks filled. Don't let the water in through the cracks to freeze and bust up the asphalt, that kind of stuff. Or if you have a small pothole, fix it, repair it sooner. It's not going to get any better. Mm-hmm. So, but it doubles the life of the asphalt in most situations. So that's one of the reasons they do it. But most people, especially at a residential, nobody ever comes out and says, wow, my asphalt's going to last twice as long. They always come out and say, wow, that looks great. Makes me look like my house got painted or something.
Yeah, that curb appeal.
It sure does, even for the residential.
So is there a certain formula to know how long in between recoatings, is that what it would be?
Yeah.
Generally,
you can see it wearing away, just like pulling into the parking lot out here. You can see areas that's black, and then you'll see areas that's still gray and mm-hmm. kind of spotty. When you start seeing those, it's getting close to time. One of the problems that a lot of homeowners have is they redo it too soon. Mm. And if you put too much sealer on, the sealer itself will start cracking. Mm. Not all the way through the asphalt, but just the surface cracks, and it looks bad. So everyone's different depending on if it's in direct sun all day, if it's getting a lot of water, if it's getting a lot of traffic, that kind of stuff. So,
is there anything aside from the discoloration, some cracking, potholes? Those are the things to kind of look out for to know when it's time to call you.
Well, if you start seeing cracks, seeing anything like that that changes, or a depression, or if you see something that's a small depression that kind of looks like a swirling circle, and it sounds odd, but you'll know it when you see it. You got water issues mm-hmm. under that. We've had situations where we went to cut out maybe a 2x2 area depression in a parking lot and end up being 60 feet long and 10 mm-hmm. feet deep. Because there was a water line that ran under it that was you know, just shooting water everywhere under there, and no one had any idea.
Yeah. Do you, so my driveway is concrete at home. What's the pros or cons if I was in a new construction and I'm determining what kind of driveway I get to put in? What are the pros or cons? Or
if you got a concrete driveway, you need to rip it up and get asphalt so we can seal it. But no, concrete can be sealed too. It's just a clear sealer, or you can get a colored sealer and put over it, you know, to keep oils or stains from coming in. But the good part about the asphalt is it's less expensive to put in than concrete. Depending on how the driveway was put in, a lot of people say that concrete lasts longer. You know, it's so much better. And it, in a lot of cases, honestly, it does do good. It lasts a long time. But the process by which you put that driveway in is the most critical. It's not what you see on top. It's what's under the base, under the concrete or the asphalt.
Which, you know, when you buy a home, you don't know.
You don't have a clue.
Right. You don't know what you're getting into. Mm-mm. And those issues of moisture underneath could become, you know, they could come in without you even knowing,
right.
You know.
Absolutely.
In case you're just joining us, we have the owner of the Asphalt Team, Jack Sherrill, in today. How have you, you know, how do you stay up to date on the latest technologies, and how have you learned better ways to stripe and paint and, you know, just techniques and stuff like that? How do you, you had a mentor along the way from 12 years old working with a bucket? It mm-hmm. seems like, you know, things have changed.
Fortunately, there's been some people that's come across in my life that have helped a lot with that. A lot of help came from early on, as far as the business part of it, came from SCORE. If you're familiar mm-hmm. with SCORE, Service Corps of Retired Executives, they helped a lot with the business side of it. The actual technology side of the application, the process, and all that. We go to trade shows, and I learned a long time ago, a lot of times people that I seen early on that I felt was a competitor, not really a competitor. Mm-hmm. Because we work with them now, and they work with us in a lot of situations. Actually, we've got three other companies that we do business with that does the same thing we do, but we all try to help each other out. Had a guy two nights ago call me and said, hey, there's a situation that this guy has got that he needs his parking lot done. Can only be done at night. And he said, you know, I don't fool with that. He said, go take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, so
do you think that that's something about this region, this area? So you work outside, you do jobs outside of the Upper Cumberland.
We're covering six states, a lot of different property managers, maintenance companies, and things like that that you make contacts with, you know, early on.
So do you think that collaborative, you know, kind of being friendly with your quote unquote competitors, do you think that's something that is unique to our area, or have you seen that throughout the other areas you're working in?
I'll be honest, I don't see it as much in other areas.
Yeah.
I really don't. And it doesn't work here for everybody, you know, but I'm thankful that it does. We pick, since I've been in it for 30 years, I pick one person a year that I find in one of our Facebook groups or somewhere like that that's just starting up.
Mm-hmm.
We spend hours with them trying to get them started. I just tell them, hey, don't be in my area, you know. But
yeah.
We've got one in Mississippi. I've got one in Alabama. I've got one actually overseas, and another one out west that they call and ask questions. We've got one from Alabama coming up to help us on the job because he doesn't understand all the striping techniques and tricks and things like that. So he's coming up to train with us.
What makes you, you know, have that as part of your business model of, you know, mentoring others, going to trade shows? A lot of people, especially in a service industry, the time you take not out there paving is money that you're quote unquote losing. What has, some people may look at it that way, but mm-hmm. obviously you see the bigger picture of things of, like, you know, kind of the boomerang effect. It comes back around to you.
That's one of the big mistakes I made early on. I've seen everybody as a competitor, and it's just not that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not in my world. Mm-hmm. But I had to go out and seek that. It didn't just roll into the doorstep. You got to get rid of the ego a little bit, especially for a guy, you know, that's tougher. But we enjoy it. And they enjoy it, and their guys enjoy working with their people. You know, we just finished a deal in Alabama, working with another company, same type of thing, you know. But you benefit from it. You really do. Because I'll give you a good example. That guy, the one in Alabama that I'm referring to that we just finished the job for, he called me in the last 10 days with two pretty large jobs. He said, hey, I can't do it all. I need a partner on these jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So we roll in. We'll bankroll the whole deal, make sure, you know, everybody gets paid, do the project, and they're happy, we're happy. So, you know, it strengthens them too, you know. And what we do a lot of times is I'll buy materials, chemicals, additives, things like that, and I'll buy it in bulk and have pallets delivered.
That they can't do.
They can't, and we all share in that.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Jack Sherrill, owner of the Asphalt Team. What sets the Asphalt Team apart from, you mentioned there's other paving companies, and you know, everybody's seen them, and you know, there's stripe painters, and what sets you apart from other companies?
First of all, I'd say that there's good companies in this region that does exactly what I do. And there's one or two that I would hire if I wasn't in the business. I'm not going to talk about them on here. But a lot of times, especially on commercial work, you bid or estimate commercial work. Say you have three estimates. You come back a high, medium, and a low. Usually I'm not the lowest estimate or bid that's out there. A lot of times I'm in the middle. Sometimes I'm on the high side. But the thing that makes our product different or our application is different is a lot of companies just go and buy a sealer, stick some water in it, and off they go. We don't do that. We have chemicals and additives that we put in there to make it dry blacker, make it dry quicker. We put a little bit of sand in for some grit, especially if you're on a hill, so you don't slide out. Those are things that most people never even know that happens. And I don't do a good enough job of educating them on that, and I'm going to get better at it. But there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, like if you're getting two coat coverage versus one coat, you've got to mix different chemicals in at different times. A lot of people just shoot two coats and off they go. There's a lot more to it to do it correctly and to make it last longer.
Where do you think your passion comes from to really care so much about drying blacker, for instance? Like, you know, yeah, I think that subconsciously you pull into a parking lot and it's nice and black with, you know, real crisp white lines on it. This is a really nice, safer place. But that's not something that people consciously think. You know,
so I don't think it's something that's in the front of your brain when you pull up, but you're picking a place a lot of times based on that without really knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Most of the places that have those nicer parking lots with nicer lines, as a general rule, they're going to be safer because they're taking care of their stuff.
Right. What makes you have that passion, though, to like care about that?
Comes from my dad.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, but
no, that's okay. That's okay.
My dad, we had a service station growing up, and he pressed that on us. I remember the first time I got in trouble at the gas station was there was a guy pulled up and wanted 50 cents worth of gas.
Listen, that was not maybe the 80s when you're getting 50 cents
but
worth of gas.
He wanted 50 cents worth of gas, and I pumped it for him, went back in. My dad said, Jack, did Mr. Ledbetter get that gas? And I said, yeah. He said, did you check the air? I said, no. He said, how about the oil? And I said, no. I said, I just pumped his gas, and off he went. He said, that 50 cents means more to him. I wear as much as anyone else that comes in.
Yeah.
And he said, until you learn that, you won't understand the business side of it.
Mm.
So I couldn't wait for him to come back so I could check that oil and, you know, check the air in the tires.
But
that is something that was instilled in me early on. If you can't give it all you got, you may as well stay home.
Mm.
And my guys get on to me a lot of times about that. They say I'm overly, you know, protective of where we're working at or the...
You go above and beyond. And I would imagine that when you have that kind of work ethic, and, you know, I don't want to sound like a curmudgeon old lady here, but I do think it's not instilled in a younger generation as much as it was, you know, kind of even me growing up,
mm-hmm.
of that, like, look around, go above and beyond. Okay, so, you know, you're doing a parking lot and there's trash that's like, okay, well, we're picking up this rest of this trash. Why don't we pick up, you know, that trash there? Where I think a lot of people are like, well, that's not my problem. I didn't do it. I didn't make it. Well, yeah, but we could go above and beyond.
That, I think, we see that a lot. And even if we're out somewhere doing a parking lot and we were in, I think it was Chattanooga, and we were blowing off this parking lot, getting it ready to seal and stripe and repair. We blew some stuff over onto another parking lot we wasn't aware of at that time. And I seen it. Well, I didn't say anything. And I noticed my guys all ended up over there blowing that parking lot off, making sure it was clean, that we didn't leave anything that wasn't there. That's when you know you've done pretty good.
For sure. I think when Heath Waters used to run Blue Waters Equipment Rental, they were young 20-something guys, and just the way they communicated with me when we would rent tents, it was just something different than most of the generation, you know, that I see.
Customer service means everything. I think it does. And I think we've been struggling with that, I mean, as a society for several years, but of course COVID changed, you know, that just threw that out the door in my book. But customer service means everything, you know, if we tell you we're going to be there on Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we're there Monday morning at 8 o'clock.
At 7:50.
But, you know, all that means something to the businesses and to the customers, because if, you know, if we've pulled up before and, have situations to where they change. Well, we're on a parking garage right now in Nashville, 5 stories. They've changed multiple times of how they want this, where they want this, what color and all that. I knew that going in. I'd done them before. But we're blessed to have the ability to be able to transition quick. Multiple colors of paint on the trailer, different machines to load those different colors in, stencils. It takes, you know, to do the parking garage we're doing, it takes probably 1,000 pounds of stencils, just plastic stencils to do those numbers and letters and arrows and all that. So that's one thing we try to provide. And that's part of customer service, you know, being able to change on the fly, adapt to what they need, and not be a big hassle about it, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's that's part of, you know, the pricing model is that you're looking at somebody, sometimes people are just going to do a job and say, okay, well, I'm done with that job. I don't care whether it's on a hill and it slides and it doesn't hold as well. You understand that reputation. Mm-hmm. And so you understand you're going to go above and beyond and say, okay, well, we need to do a little something because it is on a hill. So we want to put more sand in the product or whatnot. And and just think about the long-term effects and how is this going to maintain over the weather of the winter and all that kind of stuff, where some companies may not worry about that. Not my problem. And that's kind of that, you know, 50-cent guy getting gas, like, okay, well, the air pressure in his tires, not your problem. When he drives off, you know, he has a flat tire, that's not your problem. And your dad kind of said, no, it is our problem.
I feel that I owe that to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
one of the guys, we were doing it was a place here in Cookeville, and I had told him where the line, the property line, went between the two buildings. And when I come back around the back side of the building, they had shorted it about 2 foot. And I said, I thought I explained where this property line was. Well, you did, but we were thinking, I said, look, man, I said, the guy paid for this up to that point. And I said, we got to do that. You know, it's not what we think, it's what he thinks. He's the customer. And, you know, you feel, I understand what it takes to make that money, to spend that money. And I respect that for the customer. And if my price is a little higher, I'm not gouging you. I'm just giving you the best I can give you.
Yeah. So where do you, if people want to find you, the asphalt team, how can they find you?
We're revamping a lot of our social media and internet presence right now, but theasphaltteam.com is the best place. You can text, call, email, whatever from that location. We're trying to center everything out of that. And we're actually working with a guy, the Biz Foundry.
And you're doing both residential and commercial still. So either
way. We do. Yeah. Residential, basically, White, Van Buren, Warren, Putnam, Cumberland, you know, generally that area.
Yeah.
And the commercial, we go as far north as Indianapolis, as far south as Birmingham and Atlanta, and as far west, we get over, we don't go that, Jackson, somewhere in there, and then over to around White Pine, Knoxville, up in that area, Newport area up there.
That's a lot of travel distance for 1,000 pounds of stencils.
Well, a lot of, I mean, we're set up to, I mean, we look like a county fair coming into town when we roll in, but.
The James gang, yeah, or whatever, yeah.
But we're set up to handle those situations, and the only way you can do it and make it feasible money-wise and all that is you've got to, I mean, as soon as our truck doors open, our guys are working. I mean, they know what to do. You don't have to tell them what to do. You don't have to reprogram them. They're efficient, and they're good at what they do. And that's the only way I could stay in business.
Well, and that's the company culture that you've set out there and you've laid out for this, you know, building this team up. You know, it's come a long way from, you know, a single 12-year-old with a bucket and to you know, a crew that just rolls into town and has, you know, multiple trucks and trailers and all that kind of stuff. So congratulations on your 30 years, and I'm excited to see what the next 30 look like for you.
I am too.
Go to theasphaltteam.com to learn more about what all the services that Jack provides. So thank you so much for being here today. It was great to have you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.